The Lord be with you.
And with
you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. A demoniac who could not speak was brought to Jesus. When the demon was driven out, the mute man spoke. The crowds were amazed and said, "Nothing like this has ever been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He drives out demons by the prince of demons." Jesus went around to all the towns and villages teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness. At the sight of the crowds, his heart was moved with pity for them, because they were troubled and abandoned like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest." The Gospel of the Lord. If you've read the Catechism of the Catholic Church, it's divided into four parts. The dogmatic part, which explains the creed that we pray every Sunday. Then you have the moral part, which explains the Ten Commandments, the cardinal virtues, the Beatitudes, the theological virtues. Then you have the channels of grace, and those are called the sacraments. Fourth part, which is really a spiritual masterpiece, it explains prayer. The first reading today, the Catechism of the Catholic Church places this reading today as part of the explanation on prayer. And that is the wrestling match that Jacob had at night, and it was really with an angel. It was with an angel. And it was not a short wrestling match. I used to do wrestling when I was in junior high school, and wrestling match, first guy I wrestled, I pinned him in 5 seconds because he was a pushover, you know? Sometimes the wrestling matches can go, you know, can go 20 minutes, a half hour. This one went the whole night. The whole night. So Jacob was probably physically strong. He ended up with a problem with his sciatic nerve. So they're wrestling the whole night, and Jacob was holding on to this man, who he believed to be a man of God, who was really an angel. And he would not let him go until he gave him a blessing. So this man, the angel sent by God, gave him a blessing. But in the meantime, his sciatic muscle was ruptured, and from that moment on, he walked with a limp. And as a result of that, the Jewish people to this day, the Orthodox, will not eat the sciatic muscle of certain foods in honor of Jacob. Okay, what does the Catholic Church say in the Catechism on this biblical passage? It's very clear. Our prayer life is a constant battle. That's what they say. Our prayer life is a constant struggle. It's a battle. Do you agree with that? Prayer, it's easy in the sense that you can pray anytime, any place, use whatever words you want. But when you try to pray, all hell breaks loose. It really does. So there are three major enemies we have to encounter when we are engaged in prayer. And they are the devil, the flesh, and the world. Let's talk a little bit about that. Let's start with the devil. Has it ever happened that you made a decision that you're going to pray, and then you had maybe some thought in your mind, well, maybe I'll do a little bit later, or I don't really feel like praying now, or maybe, you know, I'll find a better place, or maybe there's noise there, or I don't really feel that good, or I've got to do something more urgent. Ever happen? That's the devil. That's the devil. And he can tempt you intellectually in a million different ways. Unless you hear a homily like this, you're not aware of it, because the devil is very astute. He'll plant in your mind something that is good so that you won't do what is better and best. Yeah? Something that's good. Okay, well, you know, go off and visit your relative. You haven't visited this relative in a long time. Remember what Jesus says, I was sick and you visited me. So the devil can actually use biblical passages to trick us. So as the book of Sirach says, if you decide to prepare, if you decide to follow the Lord, prepare yourself for battle. The book of Sirach. Huh? You're going to follow the Lord, you know, prepare yourself for battle. So that's the first major obstacle in prayer, is the devil is not going to give up. I write articles. Yesterday I wrote an article on faith. Never written a formal article on faith. And Father John Hardin, maybe you've heard of him, who died in the year 2000. He's already a servant of God, real man of God. National Catholic Register called him a one-man spiritual army because he did so much good. In my article, I mentioned him, and he says this. He noticed when people give up their faith, it's when they give up prayer. He noticed that. You give up prayer, then your faith starts to decline. Because when you pray, you're making an act of faith that the invisible God hears you, listens to you, and cares about you. But you don't see God. God is invisible. You can see me and I can see you. But God is invisible. So faith is believing without seeing. And as we read in the Bible, the just man lives by faith. Okay, the flesh, the devil of the flesh. So I invite you to read the Catechism of the Catholic Church on prayer. I'm explaining it in Spanish Wednesday at 9 o'clock. It's probably going to take another year because I go very slowly in my explanation. But another number of the Catechism of the Catholic Church speaks about the obstacles. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church says that one of the basic obstacles in our prayer life is, are you listening? Are you listening? Because we are lazy. This is the Catechism, not Father Broom. We're lazy. Because sometimes prayer demands a lot of effort. In 86, when I arrived in Argentina, my superior said this, sometimes prayer is like pushing a wheelbarrow of cement up a huge mountain. Oh, wow. I remember as a kid, we would plant a new lawn, and my dad would have the wheelbarrow filled with dirt and was sometimes with cement. And I'd have to push it when I was 11, 12, 13 years old. And I've always been somewhat strong, but pushing a wheelbarrow filled with cement up a hill, hey, it's not a piece of cake. But try to imagine a wheelbarrow pushing it up a mountain. So when we pray, we have to go against our own laziness. We all tend to be lazy. We tend to be comfortable. We seek our comfort zone. Okay, then the third is this. Once listening to a radio, and there was a conversation between an African pastor, and he was talking with an American pastor. They weren't Catholics, but they're Christian pastors. And the American pastor asked the African pastor, what do you think the major obstacle for growth in spiritual life in the United States is? You know what he said? Distractions. Distractions. What does that mean? We've got so much out there today. So much. You've got the TV, you've got the radio, you've got the telephone, you've got the internet, you've got movies, you've got football, you've got baseball, you've got glamorous eating, you've got relatives. Not that these are bad, but we can put them above God. That's the danger. And that's the nature of what idolatry is. Idolatry is to place any person, place, or thing above God. So that's the message this morning, is that if you're going to follow Christ, you got to pray. And it's going to be spiritual combat. One last thing I'd like to say is this. The second miracle for the beatification of Fulton Sheen has been approved. Amen? And this would happen. In the year 2010, there was a stillborn baby. You know what that is? That he was apparently dead. And they placed a holy card of Fulton Sheen on the little baby, and he came back. Like that. And the nurse, seeing that, fainted. So that's been approved. That's been approved. So if you know anything about the canonization process, three miracles. Okay? Venerable, blessed, saint. And I really believe that what the church needs today, especially priests and bishops, is a model like Fulton Sheen. Amen? Did you know he retired when he was 75 years old? Canon law says you have to send in your letter of retirement when you're 75. He lived about another 9 years. You know what he did the last 9 years of his life? Basically, he preached retreats to priests and bishops. To priests and bishops. And he would always say this in his retreat. And you can get it online. Corrid Lacour, the one he did in Dublin, Ireland, another one in Washington, D.C. You can get it online. He would say to them, when you speak and preach, people don't always listen to you. When I preach and speak, people listen because of the hour of power. Amen? Yeah? The hour of power. So today we celebrate the Chinese martyrs. What motivated Fulton Sheen to start to do the holy hour? A little Chinese girl that made her holy hour. And the Chinese communists entered into the church and sprayed the church with bullets, ripping the tabernacle door off, and the host was scattered on the ground. And the little girl came in every day for 34 days and made her holy hour and lapped up the host with her tongue. After the 34th was consumed, the communists came in again, saw the little girl, and with the rifle, they bludgeoned her to death. And Fulton Sheen said, well, if this little girl died as a martyr in communist China, making her holy hour, why can't I make a daily holy hour in the United States? So from that time on, Fulton Sheen made a daily holy hour until the very day he died, December 9th, 1979. He was faithful to his holy hour even the day he died. So that's the message today. We got to be faithful to prayer. But recognize it's a battle. The devil is out there. He never goes on vacation. You go on vacation, but he does not go on vacation. The flesh, we're lazy at times. And there are so many distractions out there. But let's try, in honor of the great saints and Fulton Sheen, to be faithful to God until the end. Amen.